Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. 14 years ago, the United States began accepting some 3,600 refugees from Africa. They were among the thousands of young men and boys who had been orphaned by a brutal civil war in South Sudan. They'd lost parents, brothers, sisters, and had walked for 1,000 miles across deserts and mountains, eventually finding refuge in Kenya and then the U.S. The story of the lost boys of Sudan has been widely reported, and now it's inspired a new movie called The Good Lie. The movie tells the story of three siblings who lost their parents, survived that brutal trek, and made it to America, where they had to adapt to a radically new life.
May we visit with your cow?
Be my guest.
Are there any dangerous animals of which we should be warned?
Such as?
Lions.
No, there's no lions here. You're safe.
You're safe. No lions, just cows. The Good Lie, which stars Reese Witherspoon, will be showing tomorrow afternoon at the Kendall Square Cinema, followed by a discussion about the true story that inspired it. Among those who will be there is Sasha Chanoff. He's the founder and executive director of Refuge Point, a Cambridge-based organization that helps settle many of the refugees in the U.S., and he's here with us now. Sasha Chanoff, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thanks, Anthony.
Also with us is Moses Ajou. He was one of the real lost boys of Sudan who settled in Boston. He's now the assistant director of the South Sudanese Enrichment for Families based in Malden. And Moses Ajou, welcome to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
It's really good to have you. Sasha, I'll start with you. So this movie, which I haven't seen yet because it hasn't opened in Boston yet, but I've read about it, and it depicts that horrendous trek that many of these children, as they were then, had to make after their villages were attacked and destroyed, walking hundreds of miles. Can you remind us of what kind of challenges these young folks faced?
Sure. Well, that they were fleeing a conflict that lasted for 22 years, from 1983 to 2005, in which about 2 million people lost their lives. Mm-hmm. The northern government waged a genocidal war against the south and villages, and many children were separated from their parents and fled across South Sudan to Ethiopia, and then finally back to South Sudan and to Kenya, where they arrived and lived for 10 years as refugees, unaccompanied children.
Mm. And this, of course, is where you came into contact with them in this refugee camp in Kenya, right?
That's right. I was helping to lead the resettlement effort, teaching cultural orientation classes to those who had been approved for resettlement and helping to identify others for the resettlement effort. So about 3,600 came here to the U.S., including only 89 girls. Many girls were overlooked in this process, but we should refer to them as the lost boys and girls of mm-hmm. Sudan. Mm-hmm.
So as you said, the work you did was to prepare these boys and girls for life in America. What did you have to do? What did they need to know about life in America that they didn't know?
The cultural orientation classes were designed to teach people about the basics of what they needed to know for the first 30 days. But these were traumatized children who had seen a high degree of violence. They'd watched people die. They'd lost family members. They were resettling to a place that was safe, where they could rebuild their lives. They were particularly interested in education. Because they had lost their parents, they realized that the way to move forward in their life was to be educated. So they started saying to themselves, education is my mother and father. They had a whole slew of questions around education and how they could further their education opportunities. Moses Ajou here is a great example of that when we get to him.
Yeah, and Moses, I'll turn to you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that after 9 years in the Kakuma refugee camp, you were selected to come to Boston for relocation. So what was that transition like for you? What was the most sort of dramatic thing that you had to get used to and understand about the way America works?
I think getting used to normal way of life, the things we got used to while in the refugee camps were totally, you know, different from the thing that we saw here. You know, regular way of life, the food that we eat, apartment that we sleep in, and even going to work and having to deal with the people that you work for.
Sure.
I think it was totally new, and also culture was totally different.
Totally. But we're talking about really basic things. I mean, I remember years ago, Sasha, seeing you on 60 Minutes, and you were talking about, you know, this is a faucet. You know, this is a hunk of ice and what it feels like to be in America in the winter. I mean, we're talking about some really basic stuff that folks had to get to know, right? Right.
Yes, stuff like that. Like when I was back in the camp, I was, you know, able to get my high school diploma. Mm-hmm. And while in, you know, high school, like, you know, I read about geography, about ice, and the only place in Africa that I know that has ice was Mount Kilimanjaro.
Sure.
So when Sasha was teaching us that training, training us or showing us what it feels like when it is winter, touching ice, I think it became real when we came here and it was snowing and you have to touch all of that.
Yeah. You went, Moses, to the University of New Hampshire, where you graduated with a double major in international relations and public policy. You ended up joining the Air Force. You served a tour in Iraq as well as Afghanistan. I'd love to ask you about that journey. Why was that important to you to take that particular journey?
It was so important because, you know, while in the camp, the only thing that kept us there was the hope, you know, to get a higher education and being educated.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I got here, I was helped by an organization that I work for, the South Sudanese Enrichment for Family, to go to school, and so many other Lost Boys. While I was at school, I was watching, you know, videos from World War One, World War Two, and even Vietnam of, you know, fighter pilots, you know, protecting, you know, people from bombers that were coming to bomb. And that reminded me of a situation that happened to us at a town called Fashala in South Sudan when we just returned from Ethiopia, where we were sent to a airfield to help extended so medical relief airplanes could land. So we heard, you know, an airplane coming and we thought it was a medical relief plane. It turned out it was a bomb, so the ground was shaking and, you know, bombs were dropping. It was very scary. So we have to scatter and just hide under trees. We're told not to run. So, you know, when I went to UNH and, you know, saw those, I thought maybe it was something I would do to, you know, help protect people.
Sure. How old were you when you were making that long trek?
Initially, when I was about seven or so, my village was attacked on a constant basis from the, you know, Arab militias. And one, you know, day I had to flee with my uncle. And I walked, you know, from my area, now called the Northern Barghazal State, to Ethiopia. The walk was long. It took 3 months.
You were seven?
Yes, I was about seven. Mm.
Sasha, what's the best way to describe how thousands of seven-year-olds, eight-year-olds, nine-year-olds, I know they were all ages, but so many of them made it. Of course, tragically, many didn't. But what explains the perseverance?
Many didn't make it. Many starved to death. Many were taken by lions. Soldiers killed many, and bombers killed many. Just to emphasize something that Moses said in Kakuma camp, many of the children talked to me about looking up at planes coming as they were fleeing and thinking that they were relief planes dropping food. And they ran out to a field looking up, but yet it was northern Sudanese government bombers coming to kill them. Mm. So that's not a unique one-off that Moses talked about. It happened regularly. Those who survived had some sort of extraordinary will to overcome extreme deprivation and hardship and finally made it to Kakuma and persevered to survive. But they were immensely traumatized by that. Mm. And it's extraordinary because this resettlement effort, I think, is one of the most successful in U.S. history, not because of what America has done for them, but because of what they have done for us. Hmm. They inspire us. They motivate us when we meet people like Moses and we hear about the hardship that he has gone through and see how he has overcome that to get a bachelor's degree at UNH. He's now got a master's degree as well. He served in our military to protect us. These are things that make us feel more human, that connect us more and make us want to support them.
Mm. You worked as an advisor on the movie The Good Lies, Sasha, and I'm just wondering what it means to you and to the people, and I'll ask Moses the same question, but I'll start with you, you know, that this story has been turned into a movie.
It's such a powerful film with an immense amount of integrity. It's actually interesting because in some ways it's a Boston story. Ellen Barry, a Globe writer, came to Kakuma and broke the resettlement story for America. Dragan Mihailovic, a producer at 60 Minutes, saw it and made the 60 Minutes piece. And from that, Bobby Neumeier, a producer in Hollywood, saw it and wanted to make a Hollywood film. He found Margaret Nagel, the screenwriter, who wrote the screenplay. And from that initial DNA in Bobby Neumeier finding this film and wanting to make it, there's been immense amount of integrity. They found a director who had worked in South Sudan. They found actors who were South Sudanese refugees themselves. Mm-hmm. And the film is a very powerful and accurate depiction of their life. life. And even though Reese Witherspoon is the star in it, the director said to her, "This movie is not about you." And she said, "Well, that's quite refreshing." And the first 30 minutes highlights these children's flight from South Sudan. And all the lost boys and girls who've seen it have said it's quite accurate. Mm. So there's a huge amount of integrity in how this film was made.
Let me ask you, Moses, I'd love to know what your reaction was to this movie. Was there any part of watching it that was difficult for you?
The first part was when the village was attacked and everybody was scattering, people getting killed. The other part was when they were, crossing this, the river, and they were seeing body floating and all of that. I think those, were sort of, even though I did not, in some cases, see some of those, some of my colleagues have seen them.
Sure.
Because, it happened at different areas.
Yeah.
That, remind me of what happened. And coming to the U.S., the tracksuit that they were wearing, we, were wearing that. Also, the orientation that Sasha gave us at the camp was pretty much the same. And also coming to the U.S. and having to be interviewed and, for a job for the first time, those are things that are real. And
yeah. So it really portrayed in a realistic way what happened.
Yes.
Yeah, it really did. Sasha, I'm just so curious. You speak about these issues with such fervor, and I've seen you do it on the stage for The Moth, which was, a really amazing 15 minutes. What inspired you to work so hard to get these folks out of Kenya to America?
When I was in Kakuma camp, I saw people who were overlooked and forgotten. There were many girls who had the same story of persecution as the boys, but they were completely overlooked. I was motivated to start Refuge Point, the organization that I lead, to protect refugees who fall through the cracks of assistance and find themselves in life-threatening situations. The reason this film is so relevant and vital for today is because war has again broken out in South Sudan since December last year. We are seeing the same type of violence again. More than 1.8 million people have been displaced since last December. The UN has categorized it as a level 3 emergency, which means that there was this huge onslaught of violence and a massive amount of people were displaced all at once. The world is scrambling to catch up to this right now. This film highlights that, and it also, we are hosting something tomorrow, the Good Lie at the Kendall Theater, and UNICEF, Refuge Point, and South Sudanese Enrichment for Families are all doing this together.
All right. Well, that's Sasha Chanoff. He's the founder and executive director of Refuge Point, a Cambridge-based organization that works with refugees. Sasha, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
And Moses Adjou is the assistant director of the South Sudanese Enrichment for Families and one of the lost boys who fled his Sudanese village in the 1980s. Moses Adjou, thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you, Anthony, for having us on.
And as Sasha said, there will be a panel discussion tomorrow following the screening of The Good Lie at the Kendall Square Cinema. A lot more information at Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow.